This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rolling into the 4 o'clock hour on Gwen and Chris. Hope you enjoyed our countdown, some of our favorite nicknames. I know a lot of people contributed on the chat during that segment.
Got some great ones.
Yeah. I mean, top five really doesn't do it justice. No. You kind of got to do like a top 100.
Especially since I put Chris Paddock in my top five. You now know, I told you my list was going to be bad.
Now you're upset with yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You had the polar bear, Pete Alonso.
My list was awful.
I could counter with the penguin.
I saw that, Ron, but I don't know who that guy is, so I couldn't put him on the list.
Played third base on the Garvey Dodgers back in the day. Yeah, the Penguin. And that's a good nickname for him. He did kind of waddle around the bases like the Penguin. I don't think he made that noise.
When he was running to first,
he ran around. But Ron Say is a pretty good ball player back in the day. Yeah, nicknames are missing from sports. You know,
like what is Toddy is Fernando Tatis Jr. is now Toddy.
Manny Machado is Manny. I don't know.
Well, he is El Ministro.
El Ministro de Defensa.
Yes. Minister of Defense.
I don't know. There's some more glory in the older nicknames for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, they made sense. Like George Fatty Hackett.
I don't know where you drummed that one up from.
I see that picture constantly.
Really?
Twitter.
Never saw it.
All the time.
Never saw it before. All right. We're going to get into some Chris versus the fans. Before we do, I want to thank Matt Scrape. Well, first, I want to thank the morning show. Ben Higgins.
What happened?
Stephen Woods. Paul Rangel. All three of them. A brilliant move today. We have two television screens in the studio.
Oh, gosh.
They're constantly going with inane entertainment of some sort that I don't need to watch. So the morning show shut down the TVs this morning.
I'm very annoyed by this.
Braden Suprenant came in on the midday show with Craig and Annie. He kept the TVs off.
I can't believe he wasn't watching Fox News like he does every day.
He does watch that from time to time. But after that show was over, we came into the studio, and I looked up, and I told Scraby, I go, let's keep the TVs off today. It's so relaxing. Mm. And guess what? It's really nice. Really nice.
The problem is
I'm not distracted. I'm usually looking up at the TV. People are talking to me. There's interviews, phone calls, trying to play trivia.
I'm very annoyed by this because
really liking this.
Because you have your way. And you eat the crackers, which I've asked you to stop eating for about 4.5 years now.
Right.
You don't want to watch baseball games that feature pitchers that are on your fantasy team. We're not allowed to watch that.
That is really distracting to me, especially if I'm trying to do a radio show.
Exactly. We're not allowed to watch games that he has DVR'd at home.
I have a lot of rules.
You have way too many rules.
Way too many rules. But I think this is a good way to just cover all that. Leave the TV off for good.
No, because you know how hard it was to get these TVs in this room to begin with?
Yeah, they look great turned off right now.
You know, and the only reason I haven't turned it on is because I forgot, to be honest.
Well, I shouldn't have reminded you. Because they're probably going to go on as we introduce the next segment of the day, Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you win today, you're qualified for a chance to win the grand prize. A two-night stay at the Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. And tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins, you choose, at the Blue Live Theater. Also, $150 poolside dining credit.
Ooh.
Like sitting poolside and eating a bunch of French fries.
We're going back to that, huh?
We are. What do you like poolside?
Remember when I said I would get a nice celery?
Yeah, well, you're
bouquet?
Beyond that now. You're beyond your celery bouquet.
Yes.
Summer room packages, tickets available for the Fontainebleau are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com.
All right. Rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. I am also going to call out someone from the chat today. Pedro.
Okay.
Comments every day about how Chris versus the fans won't take his call. Pedro, this is the final time I will ever ask for you to call in.
Wow.
You will now be ignored for the rest of time because you never call in and you complain every day.
He Pedro. Complains that he can't get through?
Every single day.
There was a nice tweet on line that I didn't see who it was from. But they said they always try to get through. They never do. They finally did and they won. And it made
really?
Their day.
That's awesome. See, I
so
like that.
I was very
that.
Happy about that. So if they can get through, Pedro, so can you.
I think Pedro just knows that it bothers me.
Just wants to complain.
Yeah. All right. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question. You will get that question for free.
All right.
Let's go to our first contestant today. We're going to go to Tom in Imperial Beach. Tom, hello.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Very well, pretty Tom. Good. It's Friday.
Yeah. Are you ready to go, Tom?
Should be good.
Well, before we start, I actually called in to wish Chris a happy birthday. We're birthday neighbors. Mine is Sunday.
Oh,
very good, Tom.
Very nice.
All happy right. birthday, Chris.
You too. Thank
and
you.
And I know enough to know that I'm probably going to go down quickly because of Chris's knowledge. But I also know enough to know that Chris doesn't know everything.
That's true. That's very true.
He is very willing to admit that. It's also Clyde Drexler's birthday tomorrow. I always point that out because we're born the same day.
Sweet.
And I am a first-time player.
Oh, he's a first-time player. We got a loaded call here from Tom. Thank you, Tom, for calling in to say happy birthday to Chris. That's awesome. You are going to get right to number two, question number two, because you are a first-time player. Here we go.
I think you're going to win today, Tom. I have a good feeling.
Let's see.
Make it happen, Scravy.
Wow, the pressure just right on me. What player has the most saves in baseball right now?
Right now?
Suarez.
Oh, Suarez there.
No. Unfortunately, no.
Somebody has more
there.
Saves than Suarez.
Stay there. A lot more people, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many does Suarez have? He's got about 18, I think. 17 or 18.
Let me see. Suarez.
Doesn't
He's
matter.
Got 18.
He's not the guy.
He's 18.
The guy is for the Cardinals. Helsley. He's having a big year in the save department.
Sorry, Tom. Thank you for playing.
I know that because of the fantasy baseball world in which I live.
Better.
But thank you for calling, Tom. Very nice of your comments were very nice. I appreciate
it. He's like, man, I complimented Chris and then he eliminated
you
me.
You know I can't lose on purpose. I've already told you that many times.
Devin Williams, Anthony, hasn't even played this year. I love looking at the chat.
Oh, Anthony guessed Devin Williams?
Yes, he hasn't even played
this
year.
Yeah, it's probably
not
him.
He's on my fantasy team, I know.
He probably isn't him.
All right, let's get to our next contestant. And we're going to go to Brandon in El Cajon. Brandon is a YouTube chatter, so the YouTube chat can never say that we didn't take any of their calls. Hello, Brandon.
Okay.
Yep, yeah, Pedro. All you got to do is call in.
Pedro's actually saying he's calling in right now, but I don't have any lines for you, Pedro.
Well,
keep calling, Pedro. We'll get you in there.
There's no lines. You're telling him to call in.
I didn't.
You know what? Let's concern ourselves with people who are on the game show.
Good point.
Like Brandon.
Brandon.
We'll get to Pedro when we get to Pedro.
Brandon's part of the show, so he's going to joke about Pedro, too. All right, Brandon, are you ready?
Two things.
What?
Well, happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
And shout out to everyone in the YouTube chat.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Everybody's been shouted out.
All right, here we go. Brandon, what was the Padres' record over the last six-game road trip?
1-5.
1-5 is correct.
Better than 0-6.
But they're 2-0 since Wednesday, Chris.
You're only as good as your last at bat.
That's right. Here we go.
The old saying goes.
Number two. What team did Brad Hand start his career with, playing five seasons with that team?
I think we acquired him from the Marlins.
The Marlins.
Brad Hand.
Nice job.
Very good.
I had no idea he played for the Marlins.
You know, I would think that Brad Hand is kind of almost forgotten to a certain extent.
He is a little bit.
Had a big year for the Padres there, but it's been, what, 7-8 years?
Yeah. Did he get traded by the Padres? I don't remember.
I don't recall, but he ended up elsewhere.
You know what? Brandon will probably know. Brandon, did Brad Hand get traded or did he just leave the team?
Yeah, I think they traded him to Cleveland for, I think it was Francisco Mejia, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that worked out. Yes, for both teams.
All right, here's the third and final question for Brandon.
For the win, Brandon's just going to go wire to wire here.
I'm going
to
give you one of those player names. You have to guess the team that they played on.
All three of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see here. Matt Holliday, Jordan Montgomery, Sonny Gray.
The Yankees
is correct.
Wow,
Brandon, that was impressive, right there.
He just
there.
Ran nice the table.
Job, Brandon.
Woo. Representing the chat people beautifully, Brandon.
Yes, yes. Wow. Stay right there. I'm gonna confirm your last name here.
Okay, you're
break.
Not allowed to play ever again, Brandon. After
for
that,
the, for the rest of the week. For the
no,
rest of the
that's
week.
Right. He can play again. He nailed it. All three of them. Who was it again? Matt Holliday,
Jordan Montgomery, Sonny Gray.
They were all Yankees at the same time.
Yeah.
Very good.
2017 Yankees.
Memorable squad.
Yeah, Matt Holliday touched home plate with the Yankees.
Leave Matt Holliday out
touch
of
home
it.
Plate
leave
with
him
the...
out of it.
By the way, are you still on the group chat that we have for a fantasy baseball league, or did you leave?
Barely.
That? Okay. Because did you see the whole controversy with the trade last night that I forced a veto of a trade last night?
You forced a veto of a trade.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the lineups, Chris, and okay. I see on top it says one transaction pending, and I'm like, what the heck is this? So I go click on it, and it's a trade. So I click on the trade.
Was it offered to you?
No, it was accepted by other players. So it was another trade in the league.
Okay.
Someone accepted this trade. They were giving up Chris Sale to get Gleyber Torres.
Okay.
One for one.
Right.
I thought that was extremely unfair.
To who?
To the person who is getting Gleyber Torres. They're giving up Chris Sale, who's a great pitcher. He's like top 15 in all pitcher stats. Gleyber Torres isn't even top 100 in any of the stats.
Gleyber Torres has had a tough year, but what if the person making this trade was looking to improve their offensive numbers and feel
they
like Gleyber Torres is going to break out in
He's
the second half?
He's hitting .219 right now.
Well, but first of all, I think it's a bit lopsided on the surface, but
yes,
I'm pointing
it's
out
very lopsided.
What I'm pointing out is that Gleyber Torres might hit .219, but if you trade for him today on your fantasy team, you don't get any of that. You get whatever he does from now going forward.
Basically, I was trying to block a team stacking move for later in the year because my team is starting to perform and I feel like I'm going to run up against someone that's stacked up Chris Sale in the playoffs.
Okay. So what happened? Were you successful in?
Yes, the trade has been debunked.
Really?
Has been vetoed.
Okay.
See everybody's saying on the chat, it's a terrible trade, but not 100 veto worthy. Oh, I should have read the rest of that before I did that.
When are you going to offer me a trade? I want to see what you think is a fair trade. I'd like to see a trade offer come in from you.
All right, during the break, I'll come up with a trade.
Brother, I'm sure it'll be of equal boying both ways. My team's kind of stumbling along right now.
Yeah, how do I know I even want any of your
you
players?
Feel, yeah, my player, yeah, you probably don't. And you know what? Forget it. You can't have any of them. There. You'll probably ask for Gunnar Henderson, and you'll probably trade me like your backup closer or something.
You know what? I'll give you...
Gunnar Henderson's probably the best player in the
league.
I'll
give you Nolan Jones for Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's basically what Chris Sale for Gleyber Torres is.
I disagree with that.
I
think Gleyber Torres is a pretty decent player, is not having a great year yet. All right, we got to step away anyway. Congrats to Brandon out there, who starred in today's edition of Chris versus the Fan. Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to come back. We have our Big Five coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have our
reprise of a very good interview earlier today with Matt Waldron coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from Mike Schilt, who was on with the morning show earlier today. If you, by the way, want to hear that interview, don't want to wait for us to play you some of it, you can go right now and hear from Mike Schilt at 97.3thefansd.com. I want to ask you this when we come back, Scraby.
Okay.
I want you to give me a first half review.
Oh, gosh.
From 1 to 10, what number you'd give Mike Schilt?
Ooh.
I think that's kind of interesting.
That is very interesting. You're putting me on the hot seat, but I can handle
it. Well, I'll go on the hot seat with you.
Okay.
I'll give you my 1 to 10 rating as well.
All right.
Coming up on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty.
What happened?
I told him I just had a sip of sip of soda right before we went on the air. I wasn't ready. You start playing music, I got to respond. Your guy Juan Soto, one home run in the last 12 games.
Uh-oh.
Batting average has dropped from .338 to
.309. Uh-oh.
How long before everybody goes crazy in New York?
I remember I have this Twitter fight with this guy who's a Yankees fan, and I said, you will reply to me one day when you are angry at Juan Soto for taking a walk. And he was like, you're crazy. But I have a feeling it's going to happen, Chris.
I will say this. Last 6 games, he's walked 9 times. But has 1 RBI in that span. Doing a lot of walking these days for the Yanks.
Those
is our guy Juan Soto. All right, what did you rate? We got a few minutes in this segment before we get to the big five.
Yes.
Mike Schilt, on off the field. What would you rate him out there?
This is a very interesting question.
He's 39-40, and I know that that's not what we were hoping for, but keep in mind before you put your rating in, team did cut salary by a ton from last year.
And that's okay because he wasn't the manager last year.
No, but I'm just saying, comparing what you are, the expectations for this year were nowhere near what they were for last year. And I think that there's a little bit of, you know, rejiggering of history, because I think people think, you know, they go back to this season, they expect the Padres to be, you know, humming along in a playoff position. I'm telling you, when the season began, I don't think anybody other than the most ardent of Padre diehards were convinced that the Padres were going to be a playoff team this year. I don't know how many of the experts really picked the Padres to go to the playoffs. Not many. Not very many at all. After all, they didn't make it last year, and they were on paper worse this year. So keep that in mind before you give the Mike Schilt rating. He's 39-40. Been up, he's been down. Has he handled the pitching staff good or well in your mind? Has he related the players well? How about his rating, his relations with the media, which have been a little bit controversial from time to time?
You want me to rate?
I thought in April, Mike Schilt was like a 10. Mm-hmm. I really felt like he got off to a great start in the minds of everybody. We found him refreshing. We found him upbeat. We found him fun. We thought that all of the ills that existed in the Bob Melvin era, which I don't necessarily always think were Bob Melvin's fault, but that's probably an argument for another time. But all of the things that we, you know, hated about the Bob Melvin era, we really loved about the Mike Schilt era. So I thought if we did this vote on April 21st instead of June 21st, he would have got a 10.
Probably.
I don't think he's going to get a 10 today.
No.
You want me to give my grade?
Yeah, give me your breakdown.
I think he gets a 5 out of a 10.
A 5.
And the reason he gets a 5 is because you know a the 5 team out of 10.
Excuse me, you know a 5 out of 10 in a school
is 50%.
It's 50%. That's an F.
I'm not looking at it that way.
Okay, you're not looking at it.
I'm looking at it because the team is 500, then mm-hmm. the manager can't have a better score than what the team has. And so
they'd have to have a record of 1,000% to get a 10?
You know what I'm saying. Like, if they were in first place in the NL West, I would give them a 10.
Okay.
But they're not in first place. They're in second place. They've played good at times, they've played bad at times. I would say more so the interactions with the media have changed a little bit of how I see Mike Schilt, and it's not for a bad reason. It's just like sometimes I'm not sure what he's going for in his post-game press conferences.
Okay.
So,
and we also know
fans,
that he doesn't care what you think about that.
Absolutely. He shouldn't care
he
what
cares
I think
what
about
the players think about
yeah,
him,
I don't think,
I think
he should not care one bit about what I think. But I'm going to say 5. What about you?
I got to go a little higher than that because I think the team's doing actually better than I thought they would do. I was hopeful that they'd be a contender, and in a lot of ways they're lucky to be a contender because they are a game under 500, but nobody else has run away with those wild card spots. So, you know, to have them in the hunt, I like. I do like the way he seems to deal with his players. I do think that they like him a lot. And I think that is half the battle. And I agree with you. I think his unrealistic, at times, rosy outlook is cause for concern. I think you need to be a little more real.
Yeah.
If you're Mike Schilt. And I think when he's telling me that the team is just fantastic in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, I don't know. Does he just think I'm dumb? Or is he just trying to put one over on me? Like, it kind of bugs me. So, you know, I that's why I can't go higher than 6. And that's where I'll go.
I mean, if they were 38 and 40?
39 and 40. They got
39 and 40.
They got to win today and tomorrow to be over 500 at the halfway mark.
All right. So they're 45 and 34. That's 6 wins, which could happen.
Wait, what?
If the record was 45 and 34,
that would be
say,
plus 6 to what they actually are, right?
Yes, I would be giving him an 8 or a 9.
Oh, but they're not.
They're not.
Well, he's kept them afloat despite injuries to Darvish and Musgrove and Bogarts and many other, you know, nicks and ills along the way. He's also been helped out by the acquisition of Cease and Arise. Yeah, I think 6 is fair. I can't go any higher.
We're getting you guys are tough, and I want to say neither of us think that he's done such a bad job that he needs to be fired. Like, he's not that, you know,
fired.
That's not what we're talking
about.
Wasn't
part of the conversation
at all.
I think a 5's low. I think a 6 is
a 5 and a 6 are the same thing almost.
Well, you're right. If you draw a 5, then you circle it in, you've got a 6.
I saw the wheels turning in his head.
Pretty close. 5 and a 6.
Saw the wheels turning. I don't think we're being overly tough.
I think we're being a little tough, but I think that's fine. I want to expect more. I don't want to be content with a, you know, less than 500 season and misses the playoffs. I don't want to be content with that. I want to get into the playoffs, and I don't care what anybody says. Well, if you get into beat the Phillies or the Dodgers, you don't know that. How bad did the Dodgers beat the Padres in 2022 during the regular season? Really
badly.
Bad.
Yeah, man, man.
And it didn't mean anything for those 4 games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
get me in. And right now, Schilt is kind of questionable.
Man, we're being told we're too soft as media. We're being told we're too tough as
now
media.
Now we're too tough.
I literally gave him a 5, like in the middle, and I'm too tough.
Big 5. Speaking of 5, it's coming up next on Gwen and Chris.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one,
the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so one of the things that we've been seeing, at least in the eight-game span, is that Jackson Merrill has some power, and he's got power for days, it seems like, right now.
Number five.
And his power surge continued last night, and he continues to break records with his recent performance. In fact, according to OptiStats, Jackson Merrill is the second center fielder 21 years or younger in MLB history to hit six or more home runs in an eight-game span, counting only home runs while playing center field. The other, Willie Mays, from July 15th to the 22nd, 1951. So he did that, and then last week, I think it was last week, he had the walk-off home run. He was the youngest player to ever have multi-home run game, with the walk-off home run being one of them. So, Chris, with all of that said, how many home runs does Jackson Merrill finish with this year?
Well, I believe he's got nine right now, and he missed 10 by about a foot last night. So yeah, he almost hit another one, and that would have been off another lefty, too. So, I mean, he's really locked in right now. I would like to, first of all, I want to comment on the Willie Mays thing. I mean, that was glorious. On a week when, you know, we have the passing of a legend, and Jackson Merrill does something that only Willie Mays has ever done, it's kind of a weird statistic, but that's something to kind of cherish, if you ask me. I mean, anytime you're going to mention me in the same sentence as Willie Mays, that's pretty special company. But what I was going to say is I'd like to find all of the people out there who said that Jackson Merrill's only going to be a singles hitter. They were sure of it. They guaranteed us he's going to be a gap hitter, doubles, be lucky to hit five home runs. You know, so, you know, where are those people now? I think he's going to get 17 to 20 when the season ends.
Oh,
yes.
Wow,
but he is right now. I'd be very careful with him because he's locked in nicely.
Yeah. Tony, how many home runs do you think Jackson Merrill finishes with this year?
16. All right.
16 homers.
All right. Any reasoning behind 16?
No, I think he kind of explained it all. And Jackson did. You know, his homers are coming in bunches. You know, and I think that's ultimately a piece of his game. It's not his game. You know, he'll continue to be gap to gap and do what he's done to this point. And I just think he's more confident. He's got some pop. I mean, so I see him in the 16 range this year.
One thing I would like to see is an updated version of that ESPN award-winning story that was out about a month ago when they ranked the top 10 rookies in the National
League.
Remember,
we don't want him to be ranked. We want him under the
radar. He's got to be ranked about now. I mean,
he's
please.
Not, though. That's the crazy part.
He wasn't a month ago. He certainly has to be now. He's got to be starting.
I don't even think he was on the Bleacher Report list last
week. He's got to be starting to get in the running for Rookie of the Year. I know that, you know, there's some other guys that are ahead of him, but there's only one rookie in all of baseball that has more homers than him, and that's Ramos of San Francisco, who has 10. Considering Jackson's playing every day in center field, that's a big boost, too, to his candidacy. I think he's clearly in the running at the moment. Tony, do you, or do you think that's too much?
If I'm being honest, I'm not 100% sure who's all in the running besides Jackson.
Well, you've got Imanaga.
Yeah,
the Cubs has been great.
Apparently, the odds say Paul Skeens is going to get the NL.
Oh, yeah, he's got a hill to climb over.
Yes, I mean, he does. He does.
Paul Skeens,
Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Joey Ortiz, Jared Jones, Andy Páez, Michael Bush. Those are the guys.
Wow. Yeah, Imanaga, who's been brilliant from day one. You know, Jackson's, you know, probably third on that list.
Yeah.
Right now.
He's in the hunt.
According to the odds, he's plus 25. I might actually go make
an intelligent
rookie
bet
of the year.
That hey,
at
plus 2500.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Maybe, I'll even put down 100 bones on that.
Maybe all three of us should go in together
and
on a wager.
And put down like 500
bones? I
don't
bones? Bet on baseball.
Tony can't bet on baseball.
Tony won't do it. He shouldn't do it. He can't.
No, I don't bet at all.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Certainly not on sports.
That's all we need
stay out of that, Tony. We'll talk about
a controversy with Tony involved on that. Yeah,
local San Diego broadcaster.
Not good.
I can't be the dude that keeps asking questions like, what is going on with these people?
Yeah.
And then turn around and drop a bet. That was,
yeah, drop a bet.
That's a good point. Good point. At least you remembered that, because Chris and I were just signing.
Yeah, we were
it.
Just going to go collect your money.
Number four.
In the last few years, Major League Baseball, I'll give them some credit. They have done some really good things with these historical destination games during the season. A few years ago, they debuted the Field of Dreams game, which I thought was awesome. They've had some games at the Little League World Series. And now Major League Baseball did a pretty good job bringing a game to Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama yesterday. Cardinals ended up beating the Giants 6-5, and it seems like this stuff is going to continue with Major League Baseball. Tony, is there a stadium or a field that comes to mind you want to see them play at?
I mean, all the ones now, I don't know that they don't exist.
Yeah, that did enter my mind when I wrote this question.
Yeah, none of them exist. You know, back in the day, and I think it was one of the MVP games, there was a way that like a code that you could put in the game and you could play it like Ebbets Field. Mm-hmm. And this is before these fields, like they you can get them all over the games now, but like the Polo Grounds.
Yeah. Oh, the Polo Grounds is fun to play at.
Like, they could go all kinds of places. Those are the places I would want to see them play at. But, you know, they don't exist anymore.
They are pretty good about setting the scene. They could build.
Oh, come on.
A stadium that
build
looked
Ebbets
like
Field?
The Polo Grounds.
They rebuild Ebbets Field.
They could
get
do that.
Get out of here. No,
they could do that.
Get out. They can't. Okay. Where are they going to build it? In San Diego, where stadiums pop up every day?
No, a soundstage somewhere.
A soundstage somewhere.
Maybe out in the desert somewhere building a stadium.
Yeah, that doesn't work either.
Yeah,
I'm trying here.
I think it's a good question because there's a lot of great places, but Tony's right. I just wanted to point out, I don't know if this is in your Big Five, but with the game at Rickwood Field last night, did everybody get a chance to see Reggie Jackson's conversation with Alex Rodriguez?
Amazing.
I did.
It is absolute must-watch video. I retweeted it out last night. I think Scraby will tweet it out or something. If you haven't seen Reggie talk about some of the racism that he faced when he was down in Birmingham and trying to break into baseball, it's quite sobering.
Yeah.
But I think it's must for everybody to just be reminded where a lot of these players, you know, have come from, what they had to put up with. And I also give a lot of credit to MLB Network and whoever was doing that interview. It was a whole panel that allowed Reggie Jackson to speak and say what he really had to say. It was not easy to listen to.
No.
But everybody laid out and let him say what he had to say. And I hope that everybody out there takes a minute to hear it today.
It was A-Rod. It was the whole, MLB Network crew that usually does those games with it up there with him.
Right.
It was powerful.
Because it was Fox. Fox was broadcasting the game.
Right. So. But I think it was on MLB Network.
I gotcha.
Anyway, the point is they let him say what he said. And it was uncomfortable, but, you know, it needed to be said and it needed to be heard. And if you're out there and haven't seen it, find it on Twitter and take a couple of minutes of your day to listen.
So any fantasy stadiums you want to see?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think Tony hit it pretty good. So.
Okay, all right. What is that? Is it Little Wrigley Field or something? Should I go play a game? What is that?
Wrigley Field? That was in Los Angeles.
It was in L.A.
That was in Los Angeles. The L.A. Angels played there, again, back in the 40s. It does not exist anymore. Sorry, Square.
All right, well, they're going to have to get on building that.
They gone.
Number three.
All right, it's being reported today that the major leagues may see the automated balls and strike system implemented by the 2026 season after announcing earlier this week all AAA teams are going to start using it in 4 days on June 25th. Commish Rob Manfred, he's done actually a lot recently to change the game. He's done the pitch clock, the ghost runner, he let it through COVID, and most of it is going pretty well. But Chris, is the robo ump system going to be his biggest achievement?
I don't know. I think his biggest. That's a good question. I first of all, you know I hate it. I don't want it. But I feel like I'm trying to, you know, plug a gushing dike with a toothpick. I don't know. You know what I mean?
A dam, yes.
A dam.
Yes. But I know what you're saying. That is that what you used is a term for a water.
It is also a term.
Water,
I'm sorry you didn't
thing.
Like that term. The point is,
you're trying to.
I'm trying to make the point that the robo umps are coming, and I can't do anything about it. So You know, I think this probably will be his biggest thing. And I have a feeling it's going to work. I think the technology is getting close if it's not there already. You're going to have umpires on the field, you know, to operate and take us through the game. But the amount of mistakes that are being made by home plate umpires, now that we all can see what is actually a ball and a strike. There, the game last night, for example, I saw tweeted out, there was 21 missed calls.
It was his worst game of the
season. By the home plate umpire, but 20 of them went against the Brewers.
Yeah.
Only one missed call went against the Padres. That's, you know, that can't happen, right? I mean, you can't give one team that big of an advantage because of human error. So it's coming. It probably will be the biggest thing. And, you know, everything else worked, and I didn't think any of it would. So,
Tony, is this going to be Rob Manfred's
biggest
achievement?
I have a whole bunch to say on this. First, where did you get this report?
CBSSports.com.
CBSSports.com. And it said ABS, or did it say that they were the challenge system?
Okay, here, I'm going back to CBSSports.com right now, and it says, get ready, looks like...
Yeah, no, I know what the title says, but what does the actual story say?
The story...
Because from what I know is that ABS is going to be implemented with the challenge system, not a full-on robot system. So,
yes, they're still calling it a robot, but you're correct. It is going to be the challenge system.
I know what
yes.
they're calling it. We got to make sure we...
All right, so not every ball and strike is going to be just called automatically.
Right. This is a good...
Right, that's a difference.
Yes.
There's a huge difference.
It's a challenge system.
The reason why Major League Baseball is going this way is because most of the players and most of the fans don't want an automated, full automated umpiring system.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I'm okay with the challenge system. I said that when we talked about it last time. I don't want the whole full ABS. It just, I think it takes away from the flavor of the game. And by, you know, having this challenge system, A, we're not, you know, it won't be every pitch. There'll still be some calls that, you know, depending on how many challenges you get, that are still going to be missed. There's still a human element. You know, the more and more I do these games and watch that box and then watch these home plate umpires in their on their couches come up and tell us how many calls were missed, the reality is that thing that we're looking at on TV is not accurate. And so we don't actually know how many calls were missed. And we think we know because we think we know what the strike zone is. But I'm willing to bet that most of us don't know exactly where the strike zone is. And there aren't a lot of Major League Baseball stadiums that take it from directly behind the mound. Everything is angled to the left. Even as I sit here now in San Diego, the camera well is not directly behind the mound. And for good reason. You wouldn't be able to see anything. So they got to angle it. And so that angle near throw for throws off what we get to see on TV in terms of strike ball. It's not crazy inaccurate, but it's not fully accurate.
Go ahead, Tony.
I say that to say that I think the challenge system will be good. I think it's going to work. And I think it'll be another, you know, notch in the belt for Rob Manfred.
I talked to Mike Winters last night at the ball game.
You guys are best
former umpire.
Now.
We are kind of best buddy. We've known each other a long time, so I don't know why you keep giving me this old. All of a sudden, me and Mike Winters are tight.
Well, because
I've known him for well before.
Come in here glowing, talking about your.
I like talking to Mike Winters.
He's a fun guy to talk to.
He is, and he had a really good point on the check swing, because when they show a check swing on television, you're normally seeing it from the first base dugout camera. All right, so we see it from that angle on TV. But the first base umpire who's calling the check swing is not standing in the dugout.
Exactly.
He's standing on the first base line.
He has a whole different view.
So he has a whole different view from the one we think we see. And so I think that's what Tony's bringing up here. We think we know what's a strike and a ball, but we don't always.
No, we don't.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Number two.
I guess we're forced to see what happens. We're going to go back to the Rickwood Field game from last night. And before that, the pregame coverage had some fun conversations, including this one between Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., and Derek Jeter about what they would do if they faced Satchel Paige. And they're actually asking Barry.
Playing against both of you, you two were probably two of the most confident players I ever played against.
Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so one of the things that we've been seeing, at least in the eight-game span, is that Jackson Merrill has some power, and he's got power for days, it seems like, right now.
Number five.
And his power surge continued last night, and he continues to break records with his recent performance. In fact, according to OptiStats, Jackson Merrill is the second center fielder 21 years or younger in MLB history to hit six or more home runs in an eight-game span, counting only home runs while playing center field. The other, Willie Mays, from July 15th to the 22nd, 1951. So he did that, and then last week, I think it was last week, he had the walk-off home run. He was the youngest player to ever have multi-home run game, with the walk-off home run being one of them. So, Chris, with all of that said, how many home runs does Jackson Merrill finish with this year?
Well, I believe he's got nine right now, and he missed 10 by about a foot last night. So yeah, he almost hit another one, and that would have been off another lefty, too. So, I mean, he's really locked in right now. I want to comment on the Willie Mays thing. I mean, that was glorious. On a week when, you know, we have the passing of a legend, and Jackson Merrill does something that only Willie Mays has ever done. It's kind of a weird statistic, but that's something to kind of cherish, if you ask me. I mean, anytime you're going to mention me in the same sentence as Willie Mays, that's pretty special company. But what I was going to say is I'd like to find all of the people out there who said that Jackson Merrill's only going to be a singles hitter. They were sure of it. They guaranteed us he's going to be a gap hitter, doubles, be lucky to hit five home runs. You know, so, you know, where are those people now? I think he's going to get 17 to 20 when the season ends. Oh, yes, wow, but he is right now. I'd be very careful with him because he's locked in nicely.
Yeah, Tony, how many home runs do you think Jackson Merrill finishes with this year?
16. All right.
16 homers.
All right. Any reasoning behind 16?
No, I think he kind of explained it all, and Jackson did. You know, his homers are coming in bunches. You know, and I think that's ultimately a piece of his game. It's not his game. You know, he'll continue to be gap to gap and do what he's done to this point. And I just think he's more confident. He's got some pop. I mean, so I see him in the 16 range this year.
One thing I would like to see is an updated version of that ESPN award-winning story that was out about a month ago when they ranked the top 10 rookies in the National
League.
Remember,
we don't want him to be ranked. We want him under the
radar. He's got to be ranked about now. I mean,
he's not, though. That's the crazy part.
He wasn't a month ago. He certainly has to be now. He's got to be starting.
I don't even think he was on the Bleacher Report list last week.
He's got to be starting to get in the running for Rookie of the Year. I know that, you know, there's some other guys that are ahead of him, but there's only one rookie in all of baseball that has more homers than him, and that's Ramos of San Francisco, who has 10. Considering Jackson's playing every day in center field, that's a big boost, too, to his candidacy. I think he's clearly in the running at the moment. Tony, do you, or do you think that's too much?
If I'm being honest, I'm not 100% sure who's all in the running besides
right.
Jackson.
Looking,
well, you've got Imanaga of
yeah,
the Cubs
Imanaga,
has been great.
Apparently, the odds say Paul Skeens is going to get the NL.
Oh, yeah, he's got a hill to climb over.
Yes, I mean, he does. He does.
Paul Skeens,
Yoshinobu
Imanaga,
Yamamoto, Joey Ortiz, Jared Jones, Andy Pajas, Michael Bush. Those are the guys.
Wow. Yeah, Imanaga, who's been brilliant from day one. You know, Jackson's, you know, probably third on that list.
Yeah,
right now
he's in the hunt.
According to the odds, he's plus 25. I might actually go make.
You're gonna
a bet.
You're gonna go make
an
intelligent
rookie
bet
of the year.
That
at plus 2500. That's not
yeah.
bad.
That's not, bad at all.
Maybe, I'll even put down 100 bones on
maybe,
that.
Maybe all three of us should go in together
and
on a wager.
And put down like 500 bones?
I don't
bones?
Bet on baseball.
A state
oh,
oath.
Yeah, Tony can't bet on baseball.
Tony won't do it. No, he shouldn't do it. He can't.
No, I don't
he,
bet yeah, at all.
Yeah, you
really.
Shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Certainly not on sports.
That's all we
you
need
stay
is...
stay out of that, Tony. We'll
That's all we need is a controversy with Tony involved on that.
Yeah, local. San Diego broadcaster.
Not good. Not good.
I can't be the dude that keeps asking questions like, what is going on with these people?
Yeah.
And then turn around and drop a bet. That was
yeah, drop a bet.
That's a good point. Good point. At least you remembered that because Chris and I were just signing
yeah, we
for
were
it.
Just going to go collect your money.
Number four.
In the last few years, Major League Baseball, I'll give them some credit. They have done some really good things with these historical destination games during the season. A few years ago, they debuted the Field of Dreams game, which I thought was awesome. They've had some games at the Little League World Series. And now Major League Baseball did a pretty good job bringing a game to Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Yesterday, Cardinals ended up beating the Giants 6-5, and it seems like this stuff is going to continue with Major League Baseball. Tony, is there a stadium or a field that comes to mind you want to see them play at?
I mean, all the ones now, I don't know that they don't exist.
Yeah, that did enter my mind when I wrote this question.
Yeah, none of them exist. You know, back in the day, and I think it was one of the MVP games, there was a way that, like a code that you could put in the game and you could play at like Ebbets Field. Mm-hmm. And this is before these fields, like they you can get them all over the games now, but like the Polo Grounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Polo Grounds is fun to play at.
Like, they could go all kinds of places. Those are the places I would want to see them play at. But, you know, they don't exist anymore.
They are pretty good about setting the scene. They could build.
Oh, come on.
A stadium that
build
looked
Ebbets
like
Field?
Polo Grounds.
They rebuild Ebbets Field.
They could
get
do that.
Get out of here.
No, they could do that.
Get out. They can't. Okay. Where are they going to build it? In San Diego, where stadiums pop up every day?
No, a soundstage somewhere.
A soundstage somewhere.
Maybe out in the desert somewhere building a stadium.
Yeah, that doesn't work either.
Yeah,
You're
a little cuckoo. I think it's a good question because there's a lot of great places, but Tony's right. I just wanted to point out, I don't know if this is in your Big Five, but with the game at Rickwood Field last night, did everybody get a chance to see Reggie Jackson's conversation with Alex Rodriguez?
Amazing.
I did.
It is absolute must-watch video. I retweeted it out last night. I think Scraby will tweet it out or something. If you haven't seen Reggie talk about some of the racism that he faced when he was down in Birmingham and trying to break into baseball, it's quite sobering.
Yeah.
But I think it's must for everybody to just be reminded where a lot of these players, you know, have come from, what they had to put up with. And I also give a lot of credit to MLB Network and whoever was doing that interview. It was a whole panel that allowed Reggie Jackson to speak and say what he really had to say. It was not easy to listen to.
No.
But everybody laid out and let him say what he had to say. And I hope that everybody out there takes a minute to hear it today.
It was A-Rod. It was the whole, like, MLB network crew that usually does those games with it up there with him.
Right.
It was powerful.
Because it was Fox. Fox was broadcasting the game.
Right. So. But I think it was on MLB Network.
I gotcha.
Anyway, the point is they let him say what he said. And it was uncomfortable, but, you know, it needed to be said and it needed to be heard. And if you're out there and haven't seen it, find it on Twitter and take a couple of minutes of your day to listen.
So any fantasy stadiums you want to see?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think Tony hit it pretty good. So.
Okay, all right. What is that? Is it Little Wrigley Field or something? Should they go play a game? What is that?
Little Wrigley Field? That was in Los Angeles.
It was in L.A.
That was in Los Angeles. The L.A. Angels played there, again, back in the 40s. It does not exist anymore. Sorry, Square.
All right, well, they're going to have to get on building that.
They gone.
Number three.
All right, it's being reported today that the major leagues may see the automated balls and strikes system implemented by the 2026 season after announcing earlier this week all AAA teams are going to start using it in 4 days on June 25th. Commish Rob Manfred, he's done actually a lot recently to change the game. He's done the pitch clock, the ghost runner, he let it through COVID, and most of it is going pretty well. But Chris, is the robo ump system going to be his biggest achievement?
I don't know. I think His biggest? That's a good question. I first of all, you know I hate it. I don't want it. But I feel like I'm trying to, you know, plug a gushing dike with a toothpick. I don't know. You know what I mean?
A dam, yes.
A dam. Yes.
But I know what you're saying. That is that what you used is a term for a water.
It is also a term. Water, I'm sorry you didn't thing. Like that term. The point is...
You're trying to...
I'm trying to make the point that the robo-umps are coming, and I can't do anything about it. So, you know, I think this probably will be his biggest thing. And I have a feeling it's going to work. I think the technology is getting close if it's not there already. You're going to have umpires on the field, you know, to operate and take us through the game. But the amount of mistakes that are being made by home plate umpires, now that we all can see what is actually a ball and a strike. The game last night, for example, I saw tweeted out there was 21 missed calls.
It was his worst game of the
season. By the home plate umpire, yes. But 20 of them went against the Brewers.
Yeah.
Only one missed call went against the Padres. That's, you know, that can't happen, right? I mean, you can't give one team that big of an advantage because of human error. So it's coming. It probably will be the biggest thing. And, you know, everything else worked, and I didn't think any of it would. So,
Tony, is this going to be Rob Manfred's
biggest
achievement?
I have a whole bunch to say on this. First, where did you get this report?
CBSSports.com.
CBSSports.com. And it said ABS, or did it say... That they were the challenge system.
Okay, here, I'm going back to CBSSports.com right now, and it says, get ready, looks like...
Yeah, no, I know what the title says, but what does the actual story say?
The story...
Because from what I know is that ABS is going to be implemented with the challenge system, not a full-on robot system. So,
yes, they're still calling it a robot, but you're correct. It is going to be the challenge
system.
Okay,
I know what
yes.
they're calling it. We got to make sure we...
All right, so not every ball and strike is going to be just called automatically.
Right. This is a good...
Right, that's a difference.
Yes.
It's a huge difference.
It's a challenge system. The
reason why
challenge.
Major League Baseball is going this way is because most of the players and most of the fans don't want an automated, full automated umpiring system.
Yeah.
And so, with that being said, I'm okay with the challenge system. I said that when we talked about it last time. I don't want the whole full ABS. It just, I think it takes away from the flavor of the game. And by, you know, having this challenge system, A, we're not, you know, it won't be every pitch. There'll still be some calls that, you know, depending on how many challenges you get, that are still going to be missed. There's still a human element. You know, the more and more I do these games and watch that and then watch these home plate umpires in their on their couches come up and tell us how many calls were missed, the reality is that thing that we're looking at on TV is not accurate. And so we don't actually know how many calls were missed. And we think we know because we think we know what the strike zone is. But I'm willing to bet that most of us don't know exactly where the strike zone is. And there aren't a lot of Major League Baseball stadiums that take it from directly behind the mound. Everything is angled to the left. Even as I sit here now in San Diego, the camera well is not directly behind the mound. And for good reason. You wouldn't be able to see anything. So they got to angle it. And so that angle near throw for throws off what we get to see on TV in terms of strike ball. It's not crazy inaccurate, but it's not fully accurate.
Go ahead, Tony.
I say that to say that I think the challenge system will be good. I think it's going to work. And I think it'll be another, you know, notch in the belt for Rob Manfred.
I talked to Mike Winters last night at the ball game.
You guys are
the
best
former
friends
umpire.
Now.
We are kind of best buddies. We've known each other a long time. So I don't know why you keep giving me this old, all of a sudden, me and Mike Winters are tight.
Oh, because
I've known him for well before.
You come in here glowing talking about your
I like talking to Mike Winters.
He's a fun guy to talk to.
He is. And he had a really, you know, good point on the check swing. Because when they show a check swing on television, you're normally seeing it from the first base dugout camera. All right, so we see it from that angle on TV. But the first base umpire who's calling the check swing is not standing in the dugout.
Exactly.
He's standing on the first base line.
He has a whole different view.
So he has a whole different view from the one we think we see. And so I think that's what Tony's bringing up here. We think we know what's a strike and a ball, but we don't always.
No, we don't.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Number two.
I guess we're forced to see what happens. We're going to go back to the Rickwood Field game from last night. And before that, the pregame coverage had some fun conversations, including this one between Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., and Derek Jeter. About what they would do if they faced Satchel Paige, and they're actually asking Barry.
Playing against both of you, you two were probably two of the most confident players I ever played against. Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone. You have lost your mind, Jeter. Gone. Simple. Gone. Read about it on ESPN, Fox News, whatever else you want to talk about. You got to believe in yourself. If I don't believe in me, who going to believe in me?
That's right.
I'm a drag button.
Derek, you said
I'm drag button.
I'm going to take off. And that was Ken Griffey Jr. at the end saying
Griffey's drag bunning.
Drag bunny, yes. Yeah. Tony, do you think Barry Bonds would homer against Satchel Paige?
Yes, Barry Bonds would homer against anybody.
I thought that was the answer.
I mean, the dude was that good. Like, he was unbelievable. I believe him every word. And he was the most confident individual I've ever met in my life, for sure. he would talk to my dad. Tanner right there. He would. That's how he spoke when he was talking about the game of baseball. That's why he was so good. I don't think there is a pitcher on that's ever been created that would be out of the realm for Barry Bonds to take them deep.
Chris,
well, Satchel Paige would be about 90 years old right now, so I think Barry Bonds would have a better chance. No,
I don't know. He's skinny these days.
Satchel Paige. I didn't see any footage of Satchel Paige other than some of his crazy windups. He used to give the old spinning arm before
he
actually went into the windup. But I agree with Tony. I don't think there's any pitch created that Barry Bonds couldn't hit over a wall somewhere. I think it'd be better to ask Satchel Paige what he'd do to Barry Bonds or what he'd try to do against Barry Bonds.
Right.
Throw like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
But that's not enough.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no 100-mile-per-hour. By the way, again, on the 100-mile-per-hour pitch, Tony, I have a question for you. Because everybody now has two or three guys on the team that throws 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Are we telling ourselves now that every team in baseball has five or six pitchers that all throw as fast as Nolan Ryan used to? Because, you know, Nolan Ryan barely ticked 100.
Are we talking 100?
Well, Nolan Ryan, when he pitched, barely ticked 100. When he got there, it was like a big story. But now 100 doesn't even register on our interest meter.
Yeah, no, we got a bunch of guys who can throw 100 now.
You think? I mean, is it a legit thing? I guess so.
It's hard. You know,
That's what I mean. Is it hard? It's hard to quantify it to me.
The jugs are the guns now are out of the hand. I know at one point it wasn't out of the hand.
It was how fast it was when it got to the plate.
Right.
So that's different, right?
It's different. I don't know how long it's been different for. But I know for a long time, when I was at least a young kid, it was at the plate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I don't
somewhere
know that
down the line it started changing to out of the hand.
Like, it'd be interesting. I mean, does Robert Suarez throw as hard as Nolan Ryan did? I don't know, because it's like a different metric. Seems like it does.
No, I don't know. Well, you know,
the world may never.
We may never know. Yeah, we may never know.
Yeah. One. All right, Shohei Ohtani and New Balance have debuted his first ever signature shoe with the extremely clever name of Ohtani One. The new shoe will be available in cleat and turf versions with a corresponding apparel line.
Wait, why is that extremely clever?
It's not at all. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're being funny.
You don't feel like they spent a lot of time on that name?
Like, no, they're like, let's think long and hard. We need a name that people are going to like.
Ohtani One?
We're going to hand you $500,000 marketing agency. Please come up with a name. Ohtani One? Oh, yes, that's brilliant.
Let us give you $600,000.
Yes, please. And here's some bonus money, too. Anyway, there's a corresponding apparel line coming out. Blah, 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 blah. Chris, is New Balance a cool shoe brand in your eyes?
I got to
pass. Here's the shoe.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. I got to pass it over. I'm an On Cloud shoe guy.
What?
What's that?
On Cloud. They're the greatest shoes of all time.
It's on the cloud?
No, on cloud.
Like on the cloud, like Dropbox or something?
O-N, next word, C-L-O-U-D. That's the name of the shoe. I don't know what else to tell
you. Oh, that's the name of the shoe.
Yes, I got it. Yes, now
they
I get
are,
it.
They are the most comfortable shoe I've ever seen, ever worn. I would do a commercial for them in a heartbeat. So, but I'm going to
hear that on cloud, people?
Yeah, I'm going to pass this along to my shoe expert, Tony
shoe
Gwynn
expert,
Jr.
Tony Gwynn Jr.
Because I don't really have an opinion on it.
Is New Balance a cool shoe in your eyes?
Wow. They've come a long way.
That's a good way of answering it.
They've come a long way. I don't know that they still make that dad shoe.
Yes.
And that was like their staple. You know, unlike the Nike Monarch, they kind of made it to get into that kind of demographic. That was New Balance's demographic to begin with. Now, they've gotten younger. They've got a bunch of players. They got a bunch of dudes. So I'm going to say, yes, it is now a cool shoe.
I think they have Kawhi Leonard, right?
They got Kawhi. They got Lindor. They got a bunch of dudes.
Yeah,
they got Ha-Sung.
Oh, yes, they do. I forgot about that. All right. Well, the Otani ones coming to a shoe store near you.
I want Tony to look up the OnCloud and get a pair. I'm curious.
I'll look it up. I'm not
could
getting
wear an OnCloud. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to be comfortable?
He would
Tony.
Never because no. It's called OnCloud.
Oh, exactly.
All right, Matt
so
Waldron
good, Tony.
Coming Only up in the next hour. 97.2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.